Well, tonight we're going to turn our thoughts to a subject that may seem somewhat controversial to some and others. It's not that controversial, but it depends upon the person and what their practices have been within life and other things. Of course, that's the way that many things are. And sometimes God calls upon us to change, and we have to be open to Scripture to change. And this evening, we're going to be looking at a topic that may require some of us to think about our lives and to change our lives if necessary. But I hope that as we think about this topic, that we will give it some due consideration to the manifold nuances that are contained within it. And we're not going to exhaust this topic tonight by any means. In fact, we're going to talk about this in several different lessons, not just this one lesson. And you may be curious as to what the topic is and to what we will be thinking about. And I'm going to announce it. The topic is the Christian and alcoholic beverages. And just exactly what does the Bible teach about drinking alcoholic beverages? And just exactly where does the Christian fit in relationship to those things? Now, one of the reasons why I would like to discuss this is because, as some of you may very well know, there is a current petition circulating within New Boston, and they are circulating it over at Walmart, and maybe some other places as well, I don't know. But they're trying to get it up on the ballot to legalize the sale of alcohol within the city limits of New Boston. My understanding of the issue is that right now it is illegal to sell alcohol within the city limits of New Boston. I'm not sure about the county and what the county rule is. I know that it's sold in other places in the county. But as far as the city of New Boston itself, it is not allowed to be sold. And so you will not see alcoholic beverages sold at Walmart or Brookshire's or any of the other stores that are within town, because it is not permitted for alcoholic beverages to be sold. But should this petition gain ground, and should they have enough signatures on the petition, then it will be placed upon a ballot. And as far as I understand, and maybe some of you can correct me if I'm wrong, there will be a citywide referendum. And citizens of New Boston will then be required to vote on that particular issue as to whether or not alcoholic beverages are going to be allowed to be sold within the city limits, or they're not going to be allowed. And so, in thinking about that, I thought it might be a good time for us to think about what the Bible has to say about alcoholic beverages. And I would like for you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 17 through 20 to begin with. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 17 through 20. And in thinking about this topic, there's different things that we need to consider up front. And first of all is the idea that God teaches us and God instructs us, God commands us in two different ways. There are sometimes positive commands that God gives, and He tells us how to behave. That is, to behave in a certain way. And by telling us how to behave in a certain way, He's also telling us not to behave in some other way. For example, if God says, and the Bible says this, be holy, for I am holy, God says, then that excludes living in such a way that is unholy. And I think we can understand that. If God gives us a positive command, such as be holy, then there's an implication there to not be unholy. So it is also with this particular issue. There are some positive commands in the Scripture, and there are also some negative commands in the Scripture. In the first place, we want to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 17 through 20 and see some of the negative commands. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And so here's a certain negative command that is stated here. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So there's a negative command, that is, do not be drunk with wine, and then there's a positive command, but be filled with the Spirit. And so there's something that we should not be filled with, and there is something that we should be filled with. And those two things are offsetting. And so in order to imbibe of the wine is to offset of the filling with the Spirit. In order to be filling with the Spirit is to offset the imbibing of the wine as well. And this is an important thing to think about in this regard. The Christians of the early first century were called out of various evil practices. And one of these practices that they were called out of was the practice of drunkenness through alcohol. In this passage, Paul is exhorting the brethren at Ephesus not to be drunken with wine or alcohol. Within drinking alcohol itself, there is excess. And to drink one drop of alcohol is to be one drop drunk with alcohol. And you may think, well, but you can drink so much without being drunk. Legally, the state has given an intoxication level that they consider that someone who is at this certain blood alcohol level to be drunk. And that level, I believe, is 0.08 parts per million of alcohol within one's blood system. 0.08. Now, that's not a lot. That's very little percentage. Nevertheless, that's what the state considers to be drunk. Now, how do you get to that 0.08? Well, you've got to have a 0.01 and a 0.02 and a 0.03 and a 0.04 and so on until you get to the 0.08. And according to the state, that's when you become drunk. But I want you to understand something, that the Bible never says that there's a certain blood alcohol limit that if you take so much alcohol that you are therefore drunk. The Bible never defines what that is. And so when we think about these passages, what the apostle is speaking about and what is being discussed is the prohibition of alcohol, the kind that will make you drunk, and all alcohol makes you drunk, and the prohibition of wine, the kind that does make you drunk, but not all wine necessarily makes you drunk, which we'll study about and think about here shortly. But the prohibition of this, so as not to be drunken to any degree whatsoever. So that's one of the negative commands. But I'd like for us to turn over and look at another positive command within the Scriptures. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And notice exactly what the Apostle Paul has to say here. He says these things. Let's start in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 4. He says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." And he's talking about the day of the Lord that comes as a thief in the night, in which the wicked will be separated from the righteous. And he's addressing the righteous. And so he's saying, you are not walking in darkness. Now look what he says in verse 6. "Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Now, think about the positive command in this particular passage. In Ephesians chapter 5, we had, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, here we have a contrast as well. There are those who are sober, and there are those who are drunk. Those who are drunk in the night. But we are supposed to be sober as Christians. Now think about the contrast there and the positive command. In fact, this particular word for sobriety, to be sober, has as a part of its definition to abstain from alcoholic beverages that would make a person drunk. To abstain from intoxicating beverages. And so as Christians, we are supposed to be sober. And we are commanded to be sober. So there's a positive command, be sober. And then there's the negative command, don't be drunk. And so both of those go together in order for us to understand that intoxicating beverages are prohibited within the Scriptures. So I would like for us to think a little bit more about this as we think about these commandments. Now I would like for us to think about some other things in that regard. And specifically, as we talked about earlier, and the different wines that are found within the Bible. Because for years, I know that you've probably heard some people say, well, Jesus made wine, and Jesus served that wine to others so that they could drink it. And then also, we find that in the Old Testament that they drank wine and other things like that. But I want to ask the question, and I want to put this question to you tonight, as to whether or not the word wine in the Bible always means an intoxicating beverage. And that's the question that I would like to ask you. And I would like to look at some scriptures in that regard. And I hope you have your Bibles with you, and I hope that you will open your Bibles up to some of these passages to study with me. Now, first of all, we want to be clear. And that is that sometimes the word wine does refer to an intoxicating beverage in the Bible. And when we say an intoxicating beverage, I'm talking about a beverage that has an alcohol content that will make a person intoxicated should he continue to drink that beverage. And so let's think about that. Look at Leviticus chapter 10 and verses 8 and 9. First of all, Leviticus chapter 10 and verses 8 and 9. Here we read, "And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations." So do not drink wine or strong drink. Now there's God's instructions to the priests that are serving in the tabernacle. Leviticus chapter 10 and verses 8 and 9. And you may remember Leviticus chapter 10. This is the chapter in which Nadab and Abihu offer strange fire before the Lord. And they're consumed by that fire. And now we're dealing with the aftermath of that particular incident. And God is saying to Aaron, who is the high priest, he's saying, don't allow the priests to drink wine. Don't allow the priests to drink strong drink. Because if they do that, they may not be able to serve as they're supposed to serve in the tabernacle. And so don't even allow them to do that. There were some specific things that they had to think about when they served within the tabernacle. They had to offer the right incense upon the altar of incense, which Nadab and Abihu did not do. And for that reason, fire came from the Lord and they were devoured. And so alcohol intoxicates, and to the point that it messes with one's reasoning faculties, where one might not be able to put the right incense in the incense offering, or one might not officiate properly at the burnt offerings, or one might not officiate properly at the table of showbread, or wherever else that the priest may be serving. And so God specifically said, do not drink wine nor strong drink. Now this word for wine here obviously means some kind of intoxicating beverage. And that's why it's prohibited. Now, another example of a place where the word wine or strong drink is used to indicate an intoxicating beverage is Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 11. And Isaiah is speaking some condemnations regarding to those who are unrighteous. And he is saying to them, and here's what he says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflames them." And so here's some wine that will inflame. It's intoxicating. And that's what the context is talking about. And so a woe is pronounced upon these individuals that rise up early in the morning, follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And so sometimes the word wine is used to refer to intoxicating beverages in the Bible. But sometimes the word wine is used to refer to what we call today just grape juice. Just plain old grape juice. Sometimes the Bible refers to grape juice as wine. Now I want you to look at some examples of that in the Scripture. First of all, turn to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 17. And Jesus is giving an illustration here about the new nature of the kingdom of God and how that it's going to be radically different from what people were expecting it to be, and how that his methods and his doings were different from what people expected them to be. And he uses this illustration. He says this, "Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." Okay? So here we have the expression new wine. And Jesus isn't talking about an alcoholic beverage here. He's talking about the fresh grape juice. And that's what they put into these bottles so that it can be preserved. So here's one example where wine does not refer to an alcoholic beverage. You know, how do you know it doesn't refer to an alcoholic beverage? Because of what he says here. You put new wine into new bottles. If you put new wine into old bottles, then when that wine starts to change and expand, it will break the bottle. And you don't want to lose your bottle. So you put new wine into new bottles so that it will give and take a little bit when it starts to expand a little bit. So the new wine is non-alcoholic wine. Now look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. And this is another example where we have the word wine that does not refer to an alcoholic beverage. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. It says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Now look, the word wine is used right here. But what is this referring to? Is this referring to an alcoholic beverage? Obviously not. Because he's talking about the juice that comes freshly out of the presses. And the presses are where they press down those grapes and squeeze out the juice. So when that juice runs out, it fills into a little cistern there that they make at the bottom of the press. And they are able to capture all of that juice. And what did they call it? They called it new wine. And so sometimes wine doesn't refer to an alcoholic beverage. Look at another one. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 8. And Isaiah writes here, "Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all." As the new wine is found in a cluster. Now, up until this point, you might have argued that, well, there might be some intoxication in that new wine, you know, that's put in the bottles or that's coming out of the presses. But look, here it's referred to while it's still inside the grape. And did you know that as long as the juice remains inside the grape, it's not going to become intoxicating, because scientifically it needs something on the outside of the grape skin in order to mix with the juice in order to become intoxicating. Some kind of bacteria, I think it's a yeast that naturally grows on the outside of the grape skin. And when that yeast on the outside of the grape skin mixes with the juice inside the grape, that's when the opportunity is there for it to become, at least eventually, intoxicating to a certain degree. Now, modern techniques of winemaking and alcoholic beverage making and other things introduce yeast intentionally into these very sweet juices in order to advance the process, in order to accelerate the process of that becoming alcohol. And those yeasts devour the sugar molecules, and in devouring those sugar molecules, the yeast make a byproduct. And that byproduct that the yeast makes is, and that the bacteria makes from that chemical reaction, the byproduct is alcohol. So really, alcohol is a waste product that comes from bacteria eating sugar. And, you know, that's something that I'd just rather not put inside my body. But anyway, but the point is that in Isaiah 65 and verse 8 here, we have this truth, as new wine is found in the cluster. Well, new wine is obviously not intoxicating because it's still inside the grape itself while it's still on the vine. Now, one more passage, Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 33. Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 33. And here's another one. And joy and gladness is taken from the plentiful field and from the land of Moab. And I have caused, listen to this, I have caused wine to fail from the wine presses. None shall tread with shouting, their shouting shall be no shouting. So the wine fails from the wine presses. Well, is the wine, again, is the wine that comes from the wine presses intoxicating? No, it's not. It's fresh grape juice. And so sometimes the Bible refers to wine as intoxicating beverages, and sometimes the Bible refers to wine as a non-intoxicating beverage. In its general description of the drink that results from squeezing grapes, we see three things. In its new stage, it is non-intoxicating. In its aged state, it is intoxicating. But the word wine can refer to either state, either the non-aged state of wine or the aged state of wine. And so the word wine in the Bible can be used to refer to either one of those things. Now, we're going to end our lesson here, but I want you to think about that as we think about the Bible's dealing with the subject of alcoholic beverages. And think about the implications of this, that sometimes it said the word wine means an intoxicating beverage, and sometimes the word wine does not mean an intoxicating beverage. What are the implications of that? Well, it means that when you go to a context and you read about certain people drinking wine, you've got to look at the context to see whether or not they're drinking an intoxicated beverage or not. It's not a given, you see, that just because the word wine is used, that necessarily means that the beverage is intoxicating. Now, sometimes it is, but the context is what makes that clear. And sometimes when the word wine is used, it's not an intoxicating beverage. And the context will make that clear as well. And so that's what I want us to think about when we think about the word wine as it's used in the Bible. Now, we're going to talk more about this subject. I want to talk specifically about the prohibition of drinking that we find in the Scriptures, because there are some strong Scriptures that prohibit drinking. We're not going to do that tonight, but we will discuss that at another point. But I would like for us to just recap what we've talked about tonight. First of all, there are two ways that God instructs, two ways that God admonishes, two ways that God exhorts, both positively and negatively. When he gives us the positive, he excludes the negative. So to say, be holy means don't be unholy. To say, be sober means that you can't be non-sober or you can't be drunk. And so those two things exclude each other. And so the Bible has, and God has given us instruction in the Bible to be sober. And we need to be sober. And then secondly, the thing we talked about tonight is when the word wine is used, it doesn't necessarily mean an intoxicating beverage. Sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. And the context will let us know that. Well, why are we interested in these things? Because the Bible talks about them. And God instructs us in these matters. And we, being people who want to follow the will of God, should want to know what the Bible has to say about these things. We should be interested in studying the Bible and in learning what God is teaching us in regard to these things. Because we want to be like Him. We want to be like God. Be imitators of God, dearly beloved, as dear children. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. And so, as imitators of God, we want to obey the Word of God. Because the Word of God is going to tell us how to imitate God. And so this evening, as we think about doing just that, specifically in regard to our behavior in relationship to intoxicating beverages, we want to make sure that we're following God's Word so that we can be like God. Now tonight, if someone is thinking, you know what, I want to be like God as well, but I don't know exactly how to do that. I don't exactly know how to start that process. Well, then let us talk to you and study with you about that. And we will tell you this evening that in order to become a child of God, you need to hear the Word of God and believe it and repent of your sins and confess Jesus as the Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins. And this will usher you into the kingdom of God, where all God's children are. And so if you would like to become a Christian tonight, you can follow that process and you can become a child of God. If you're a Christian, but you need the prayers of the church regarding some matter, maybe it's some personal matter that you're struggling with. Maybe it's some other matter, prayers regarding a relative or someone like that. This is an opportunity for you to express those desires and for us to pray with you and for you in that regard. Whatever your need may be this evening, we invite you to come and make it known while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.